Spend a lot of time in Revelation because I got some other places I want to go this morning. But in verse 12, the Apostle John, he is taken up into heaven. He is looking down upon this earth. He sees future events that are going to take place. And in verse, he sees the sixth seal. And when the sixth seal is opened, the Apostle John sees. And I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Think about that, if you will. Think about living through that. Every mountain and every island are moved out of their places. That's going to be terrible, isn't it? And that's nothing compared to the last 3.5 years. There's going to be a great earthquake, and that's why the mountains and the islands are going to be moved out of their places. Think about that. A tsunami wouldn't be easy to happen, wouldn't it? An island is moved, an earthquake, tsunami. It's going to be a terrible, terrible time in history. And that's just the first 3.5 years, and that's nothing compared to what it's going to be like. But why is God going to bring all this about on the earth? Well, the earth has asked for it, haven't they? They did. The seven seals represents God's word, which was previously concealed or sealed, being unsealed, revealed, and fulfilled. So when Jesus Christ opens the seven sealed scroll, he reveals events that he has already prophesied that are going to take place. The last 3.5 years is going to be worse than you can even imagine. But I cannot imagine verses 12, 13, and 14. I cannot imagine living through that. The world today talks about Armageddon. They have no idea what Armageddon is like. They talk about the word apocalypse. The word apocalypse simply means to unveil. They have no idea what they're talking about. You know, we live in a society, an antichrist society, that rejects God. That's one of the reasons for the 7-year tribulation. I wrote a verse up here. If you'll look at that, it's the very first verse in the Bible. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But man today says, that's not true. Man today says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Man says, no, the heaven and the earth were created themselves. Man says, God did not create. Man evolved. And they talk about the Big Bang Theory. Well, I'd like to read something for you this morning. One of my books that I've had in my library for many, many years. And this is man's version of creation. Now, these people, this book was written, I have a lot of these books. This was written and directed toward young people. It was written by a man by the name of Gerald Ames and a lady by the name of Rose Weiler. I bet they thought they were brilliant. And it says, let me just read a couple of things to you, if I may. Have you ever wondered how the world began? Have you wondered about the first living things, how plants, animals, and people came to be? Scientists, too, have wondered. They've searched the sky, the sea, the rocks of the earth. They've tried to find out what happened from the beginning of time. The scientists have made many discoveries and put them together in a story of the first days of the world. Parts of the story are true, but other parts are filled with guesses. Well, that's brilliant, isn't it? As scientists make new discoveries, they sometimes find their guesses were wrong. That's brilliant also. Then they make new guesses. We can never know everything that happened millions and billions of years ago. But this is the way many scientists now think it happened. And then they proceed to tell us how the world got together. Let me just read something else to you from this little book directed at your children with their heads full of mush. Long ago, there was no world. Well, wow. There was no sun nor moon. No stars shone. Everywhere there was dark space. Wow, that sounds like fun, doesn't it? Space was almost empty, but not quite. Here and there was a speck of dust or an atom of gas. When one of these tiny bits of matter drifted near another one, each attracted the other, and they drew together. And then, if you read this and further, it all boils down to something that is called the Big Bang Theory. The Big Bang Theory says that all of this dust and atom and matter all gathered together and was pressed together. And one of the books I have says that it was pressed together the size of a period at the end of a sentence. Wow. The entire universe, as we know it, was pressed together the size of a period at the end of a sentence. And out of that, it was all pressed together so tight, with so much pressure, that it exploded. And the universe as we know it began. I say, wow. So all of this that you see, this world that we live in, Mars, Venus, the Sun, the Moon, all began from a little speck the size of a period at the end of one of these sentences. Let me ask you something. What is harder to believe, that or the fact that God created in the beginning?
Definitely.
What is harder to believe? Now, let me read something else to you out of this brilliant book. I can just picture the two people that wrote this just walking around all puffed up with all their brilliance.
They didn't even answer where the speck came from.
What's that?
They didn't even answer where the speck came from.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, where did that speck come from?
Usually,
my question is,
I take all the ingredients, I smash them together, and then that gives me the product.
My question is, what smashed them together? What smashed them together? What caused all that pressure? That's my question. But anyway, I have something else I was going to read here if I can find it. I know this isn't the Bible, so you'll have to forgive me. But we'll get back to the Bible shortly. I had it marked here in red so I could find it real easy. Well, that's evolution for you. Red disappears and becomes something else. Oh, here we go. Okay, here we go. As the earth began to form and nature and everything began to take place, everything became, the living droplets multiplied until hordes of them crowded the sea. Living droplets. Now, they're trying to explain how life began here. Then all food molecules from the water. All took food. Let me ask you something. Where did the food molecules come to be in the water? From a speck of dust that blew up and out of space. It became broth. The broth became thin. Then there was famine in the sea. All of these molecules and everything began to starve. Millions of living droplets starved. Wow. Some of the droplets developed green matter that trapped rays of sunlight.
They know green.
I don't know. They must have been there. The sunlight, the rays, gave them energy. They began to work like tiny factories, using water and a gas from the air. They made their own food. I have a little note here that says, wow. Wow.
Sounds to me like them two were on heroin.
Yeah, well, that's normal. Now, go back to your Bibles, if you will, Revelation chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6, let's see here, verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beast creatures say, a measure of wheat for a penny, a denarius. And three measures of barley for a penny, a denarius. Let me ask you a question. If they made their own food all the way back when things began, how come during a 7-year tribulation you're going to starve to death? Why can't you just make your own food out of nothing? You know, in the Bible here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Man says, no, I don't buy that. Man says, the heaven and the earth just happened. And we don't believe God created that. So we'll just take that and wipe that out of the Bible, the Word of God, right? We'll just take that and wipe that out. Now we feel better about ourselves, don't we? Isn't that wonderful? We feel good now. Of course, in the beginning, we believe in the Big Bang, so we don't believe in the beginning God. We can't believe in that. And since we have this one word left, God, you know what we'll do? The Bible says that God created man in his own image, but man says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to create God in my own image. And since that time, we've taken God, and the very first verse in the Bible really doesn't exist. But you know what's really sad about the whole thing? It's not the fact that they eliminated in the beginning God. It's not the fact that they eliminated the word created. It's not the fact that God created heaven. The fact is that they have eliminated Jesus Christ the Lord. That's the real problem. Because the word God in Genesis 1:1 is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The word God is a Hebrew word which means a plurality of one. Now, with that in mind, turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians, pretty easy to find. They got Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. You see, man rejects God. Man rejects Jesus Christ. Man rejects the idea of salvation by grace. Bill O'Reilly on one of the news channels says, I don't believe that a man can pay for your sins. I don't either, but Jesus Christ wasn't a man. He was God and man. If O'Reilly believes that when he's dead, he's going to be in sad shape. Colossians chapter 1. If you're a saved, born-again Christian, if you believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, you should have a different attitude than the rest of the world, shouldn't you? You should have no fear, no pain. You should live your life joyful, happy, because you realize that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's God. And so, in verse 12, Colossians chapter 1, giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Why should you give thanks unto the Father? Because you have an eternity in heaven, and if you are alive when the 7-year tribulation begins, you will miss it. You'll be taken out of the 7-year tribulation. You won't have to go through that. Why? Because he who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Look up here for just a minute. You know what people reject more than anything else? The blood of Jesus Christ. But if you believe that he died on the cross for your sins, you have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Jesus Christ, through his blood, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, every creature. Verse 16, for by him, Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Did you know that if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, this world would explode in a ball of fire. If it wasn't for Jesus Christ. But notice what it says here. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and in the earth, visible and invisible. Let me give you some verses you can look up when you get home sometime today or whenever. Let me give you some verses. John chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 10. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 10. And then we're going to look at another verse. But I'm going to do something here. You see, when humanity says in the beginning, God did not create, all things began with an explosion, or all things began in a soup pond, or all things did whatever, what they're really saying is, in the beginning, Jesus Christ. What mankind really says is wrong. In the beginning, Jesus Christ, don't get me that. In the beginning, Jesus Christ created all things. Jesus Christ is God. You see, man doesn't hate the word God.
They hate Jesus Christ.
Man will say, well, we all believe in the same God. Or I believe in God in my own way, or whatever. What man really hates, it's not the word God, it's the word Jesus Christ the Lord. That's what mankind really hates. And they really hate the fact that he died on a cross, he rose again, he shed his blood. That's what they really hate. And so God said, because of that, there's going to be 7 years of wrath. And not only that, let's read on down in Colossians, if you will. Let's go to verse 19. For it pleased the Father, that's God the Father, that in him, that's Jesus Christ, should all fullness dwell. Look in chapter 2, verse 9, if you will. For in him, that's Jesus Christ, dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, Jesus Christ represents God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in God the Son. Amen? In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And then in verse 20, chapter 1. What time is it getting to be here? We got time. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were at one time or once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. You know what it is that reconciled you to God? Do you know what it is that gives you the ability to read this trash and realize that it's a lie? Do you know what it is that gives you the ability to do that? Do you know what it is that gives you the ability to understand that Jesus Christ created? Do you know what it is that gives you the ability to understand this Bible? Do you know what that is?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. And you got that Holy Spirit when you were reconciled to God through the blood of Christ. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ the Lord as your Savior, you were reconciled to God. No more wall. No more wall. The wall was broken down. You were and now you have the ability to understand. To understand that the world was not created with a big bang. How ignorant. The world was created by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a lot easier to believe than being created from a little speck of dust into the universe that we see now. You know, General Motors builds, I don't know how many thousands of cars every year. Isn't it hard to believe that every one of those cars actually came from a little speck of dust about that big?
Yeah, they made it.
Huh?
They read themselves.
Yeah. Joe?
But 2 Thessalonians 2:11 says, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion. They should believe a lie." Yep. So, I mean, right after the rapture, they'll probably go ahead and maybe he'll send something.
That's exactly what it says.
Makes it, the whole big bang together for them.
Yeah. Ron?
Here's what else is wrong today.
Yes.
Right, yeah, you're right.
All false religion.
Yeah.
That's they don't teach the truth.
That's right. But you know, the world would just as much believe a lie than the truth. So turn back in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 4, and then we'll close with one verse here. Now, I probably shouldn't say this. I won't say it. Never mind.
Go ahead.
Okay. The church that's having this Muslim is called the United Church of Christ.
That's not good.
It's not the Church of Christ that you're all familiar with. It's called the United Church
that
of
means
Christ.
All people from all churches.
Yeah, which means
one world church organization.
It's a one world church. Remember a couple of weeks ago, maybe a longer, that I mentioned to you that a lot of churches in this country are opening their doors to the Muslim. You're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to believe that Jesus Christ is God, and they're opening the doors to the Muslim religion, which rejects that. I was reading a book at home on Muhammad, and I was reading, and I got about halfway through the book, and they was telling a story in there about Muhammad taking a ride on this strange beast, and he was with the angel Gabriel. And the strange beast took Muhammad to Jerusalem, and he got off of this beast, and there was Moses and Abraham and Jesus and I forget who else, and they all lined up behind Muhammad, and he led them in prayer. That made me angry. I'll be damned if Jesus Christ is going to line up behind Muhammad. That'll be the day. That'll be the day when Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, rose again, created the heavens and the earth, is going to line up behind Muhammad. Still makes me angry. I'm still reading the book, though. You know why? I like to know what my enemy's doing. If you can keep track on your enemy, you don't have to worry about him sneaking up behind you. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And that's why I read everything I can read. And anybody that tells me that Jesus Christ is not God is my enemy, spiritually. Doesn't mean I'm going to get a gun and shoot them or anything, but spiritually, they are my enemy. Anyway, one last verse, Revelation chapter 4. Now that I'm through having a fit. In verse 11, one verse, and then we'll close with this. "Thou art worthy, O Lord Jesus Christ, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou, Jesus Christ, has created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." I want to ask you a question. You know, we're told today that you evil human beings, you're all evil. Did you know that? You're destroying the planet. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You don't eat properly. You're polluting. I don't know how you're doing. You're polluting the world. You're polluting the earth. You're just a terrible human being. But my Bible says that God created this earth for his pleasure. Do you think he's going to allow me to destroy something that he created for his pleasure? Nope. I don't think so.
The plants live off of carbon.
Yeah.
Now, I was at school, and our teacher was saying how they give half credit to God creating the earth and half credit to evolution.
Uh-huh.
They say that God created an animal that evolved into man, or he created the Big Bang that started this world.
I know. That's and I had a book in my library on that, and I think I got mad when I read it and threw it out. But I wish I'd have kept it. But you know, there's one verse in the Bible that tells them they're liars. There's one verse. God created man in his own image. Well, if he created man in his own image, then he didn't create a blob, because God would be a blob. No. Adrian.
Adrian, you know, I belong to AA and have been around at AA meetings for years and years. And then AA is out in the worldwide, all over the world.
Yeah.
And you brought me to believe something that I never knew, but it's true. In AA, their higher power is God, as they understand it.
Mm-hmm.
They can talk about God all day long.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute that you bring Jesus Christ into it, they'll get up and walk out of it.
Yeah.
And you know that's so wrong, and they don't know the difference.
They don't know. You're absolutely right. I'm glad you caught that, because you know a lot of people won't. A lot of people don't catch that. You know, another organization that claims to believe in God and do godly things is the Eagles. And I was asked to join the Eagles once, and I asked them. I said, "Well, what about Jesus Christ? Well, we don't mention His name." I said, "Why?" And they said, "Well, because we have a lot of denominations here, and we'd offend some." And I said, "Well, then I don't want to join your organization." So whatever, but they can do whatever they like. But you're right. If Jesus Christ isn't allowed in it, it's not godly, is it? No, it isn't. It might sound good, but this thing about we all believe in the same God, give me a break. Ron?
And you look right down the road here at this Crossroads Church.
Yeah.
Faster Pastor. All he's worried about now is who he's advertising for, Asa Cox.
Really?
And all this stuff. Not about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
But here I'm getting paid because I'm the pastor, and I'm getting paid to promote your business.
Yeah. Wow.
You should be getting paid to promote Jesus Christ.
Yeah. You know, another, there's another guy like that on TV. His name is Mike Huckabee, Governor Mike. Used to be a Baptist preacher. At what point in time do you stop preaching the gospel and say, "I'm going to be a politician"?
Yeah.
What a pretty sad. Anyway, in closing, as we always do, God says we're sinners, right? Well, that represents me. I'm a sinner. This represents my sin. This represents me. Sin needs to be paid for, right? I can do that. Or the Bible says Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again for the forgiveness of sin. For God so loved the world, that's me, that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever, that's me, believeth in Him, shall never perish but have everlasting life. I can do that. He'll take my sin, marked it paid. Then He takes and gives me the Holy Spirit who lives in me, guarantees I have eternal life, can't lose it. Or I can not believe anything at all, but hell is a hot place, isn't it? And I'm not going. I refuse. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll close. Dear Lord, we thank You for Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He created. He's God, manifest in the flesh, 1 Timothy 3:16. He became manifest in the flesh. If He didn't, you and I would never know anything about God. It's Jesus Christ is what they really hate. It's Jesus Christ and what He represents is what they really hate. And someday they're going to pay for that. And dear Lord, we just thank You that we don't have to. If you're here today, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, just do it now. Lord, I believe You died on the cross for me. Nobody will bother you. It's just between you and the Lord. Then you'll have eternal life. It'll be forever. And you'll understand more than you've ever understood in your entire life. Dear Lord, we thank You for Christ. Thank You for those that are here this morning. Bless them throughout the week in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's see here. We're going to go to page